Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom Show. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver. It's delightful to be with you today on a cold and wintry Calgary day, and I'm happy to be airing this beautiful show, which is all about sharing inspiring stories, stories of women who have risen from a tragedy to triumph, from some sort of chaos to confidence, and showcasing that there are amazing, resilient women in the world with beautiful stories to share. So my hope for you is that you listen, build your resilience to keep going, and elevate your confidence. And my guest today is Shari Aldrich. Hello, Shari.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom Show. Now, I think you're dialing in from the U.S. Olympia, Washington. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And you have some snow on the ground there, too.
Yeah, it's the first time all winter that we got any snow, so we're a little excited. Only 3 inches, but it makes us happy.
Well, sometimes when it's around Christmas time, it's nice to see a light dusting of snow for seasonal pictures, and then, you know, very quickly after, most people get frustrated. I think it's minus 27 here today.
Okay, you win.
It's sunny, and we have about 2 to 3 inches of snow on the ground, so just enough to make things slick and to have the buses not wanting to go pick up the kids. So it's, it's great to be indoors on live radio in a nice, cozy, warm studio office.
So yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yes, welcome. So I was really inspired when I first met you, it's a couple of years ago now, at Maverick, when, I was invited to join some super successful entrepreneurs at the camp, and have kept in touch with a number of those that I really resonated with, and it was really interesting to hear your story, and it really gave me a lump in my throat. And when I was looking at who would I like to reconnect with again in 2019, who had a really interesting story to share, you were one of the people I thought of. So glad that you could make it.
Thank you. I hear that often, that my story catches people, and yeah, it catches me too whenever I stop and think about how far I've come and what I've been able to produce because of this. Anyways, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm happy to share.
Well, let's share this story, because it really does showcase for me how amazingly resilient we are as women. And obviously, with your story, it directly impacted your livelihood, and that's a really scary place to be. So tell me what happened. How did you survive through this tragedy, and how did you then move on into something that's been even better? Because I think that whole concept of a silver lining, when we're in the muck, in the weeds, we don't realize that, oh my gosh, it could actually be something amazing that comes out of this. So what happened for you?
What happened? Well, we have to go back to 2004, if that's okay, to get a sense of what happened.
Yeah.
And it started in a cold morning in January of 2004 when I woke up. I think it was around 5 in the morning. And I said to myself, wake up. Don't even think about it. Get up, get dressed, go run. And these words got me out of my bed, cold January morning, kind of like now, and I decided to train for and run a marathon. I'd been an athlete my whole life, but never a distance runner, and I, to this day, don't know why I did that, but that decision changed the course of my life. They led me to where I am today, which is president of Body Mechanics School of Myotherapy and Massage, in Tumwater, Washington, and I'm really happy to share my story and hope that, you know, your audience is inspired and motivated to maybe recognize their personal story and recognize that they are persevering as well and hopefully building a life that they love. So back in 2004, I was having daily headaches, dealing with stress from my job as an IT director. And I was managing between 150 computers, 7 servers in 10 offices in 2 states by myself, and the president of the company refused to get me any help. And I was taking somewhere between 10 and 12 ibuprofen every day just to deal with the stress. And I honestly thought I would die before I was 40. And I had good reason to believe this. Back in 1997, my older brother, Steve, died at 36 years old from a stroke. And 3 years later, my mom died from lung cancer at 59 years old. And we found out her diagnosis on a Saturday, and she died on Monday.
Wow.
And 4 years after, and four years after that, my older sister, Judy, was killed in a head-on collision on the freeway, where she crossed over the median and hit another car, and that woman died as well. And my sister was 39 years old. So the headaches that I was having, the stress that I was living, I really honestly thought I would die before I was 40. And so when I woke up that cold morning in January of 2004 and started running, I like to say that was me claiming my life and telling the world that I was going to live past my 40s, my 50s, and beyond.
Wow.
And so as part of that marathon, I'm sorry?
I said, wow, I mean, that in itself is an awful lot in a very short space of time to be coping with. And I have to say, I've never woken up with that message of go run a marathon yet. So, yeah. Ow.
I still don't know where it came from, but it was there, and I went with it. And even just knowing that I got up that morning and went out and went for a run, it was so cold. And I don't know. It felt like I had to do it. Mm. And so as time went on and I was training for the marathon, and I just happened to get my first massage, and it changed my life forever, getting that first massage. And the minute hands were laid upon my back, I had an epiphany that this is what I've been looking for my whole life, not massage as a career, but massage for my health. And it just, it was life-changing for me, and that I found something that made me feel better. It helped relieve my stress and just put me in a better frame for facing the world on a daily basis. And over the course of training, the therapist talked to me about the massage profession, and I decided to go to massage school. And so for a year, I worked all day, had 2 teenage kids, and went to massage school in the evenings. And it was probably the most challenging year I've ever faced, but it was also the most exciting with all of the, you know, the new stuff that I was learning. And so after I graduated, I settled into a very typical pattern for a massage therapist, where I was massaging in the evenings and weekends and working my day job, you know, hoping that at some point, you know, the balance would be tipped and I could switch over fully into massage therapy. When 3 months after I graduated from massage school, my younger sister was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, I was scared for her. I was scared for her family. Like, I just remember thinking, I don't know how long I have on this planet, but it's not going to be spent doing anything that doesn't make me happy. And, you know, all that came from my siblings, my mom, and just the stress that our family was feeling. So I quit my IT job and dedicated myself to massage full time. And so I'd been hired on as an instructor as well at this school, and I started traveling around the country helping the owner of the school teach his continuing ed workshop. And it was just eye-opening to me, as it kind of allowed me to see what other schools produced, if you will, as a finished product. And I knew that the students that we were graduating at Body Mechanics were truly some of the best in the country. And I was just having the time of my life, massaging, teaching, traveling. And by the way, just to kind of put it out there, my sister's fine today. She's amazing, lives in Boise. So, you know, that that did not end in tragedy. It's actually part of our family's story of success. But so kind of back to me, as the country sunk into recession, the owner decided to close the school. If you remember, you know, back in 2008, 2009, what the country, well, the U.S. anyways, was going through. he needed close to 40 students to enroll and keep the school going, but only 11 could get funding. And so he decided to close the school. And when he made that decision, I began asking what I could do to keep the school going because I'd fallen in love with teaching. And so in 2010, I bought the school. And just, I like to say, I was in the right place at the right time to buy it and stop it from becoming another victim to the economy. And I loved teaching so much, I didn't want to see it end. So now I was massaging and teaching and kind of figuring out myself and what direction I wanted to go to make myself happy. Like I said, I didn't want to live any days that wasn't full of joy. And so, I don't know, I started going to conferences, I started reading books, and just kept working on myself and my happiness. In 2011, I went to a conference called Fitness Business Summit, and I had the opportunity to hear Garrett Gunderson speak, and I don't know if you know Garrett or if you've come across him in your travels. But he wrote a book called Killing Sacred Cows, and that book changed my life. It opened me up to the thoughts of abundance and just, you know, trusting yourself and trusting what it is that you can do. And so that propelled me even further forward and convinced me to buy a 6,000 square foot building. And so here I am just, you know, a couple of years out of working as an IT director and being afraid for my life to owning a massage school. By then, I'd opened up a fitness boot camp as well. And I had a professional clinic with massage therapists, a couple chiropractors, acupuncturists, and nutritionists. And so, man, things were just going amazingly well. By then, my daughters, Haley and Ashley, had started working for me. They'd both been through my massage program. And they're still working for me, and it's pretty exciting to help them develop professionally and work with my kids and get to see my grandkids at the office every day.
Oh, that's lovely.
So that's, yeah. So that's kind of, you know, what I like to think of the long play as an entrepreneur and what happens. You know, you have the ups and downs every day. You have them weekly. You have them monthly. And so if you're looking at this trajectory that I was on, you know, it seemed like it kept going up. And then, you know, then, of course, yin and yang has to happen and something has to balance it out. So October 6, 2013, it's a day I won't forget. It's the day I suffered a traumatic finger amputation while participating in an obstacle mud run that virtually ended my massage career. And to add to the fun, I was also going through a divorce at the time, ending my marriage of 23 years. And going into the divorce, my plan was to use my personal massage income to support myself. And that was virtually ripped away right along with my finger. And so, you know, recovery, you know, mentally, emotionally, financially, and physically took close to 18 months. And we had at the time, two houses that went into foreclosure because of, you know, just financial difficulties that happened. And so every day I just kept focusing on what I needed to do to keep the business moving forward while inside I was dealing with rehab and phantom pain in my hand. And people would tell me I was strong and motivating, but inside I was floundering and it became difficult to pay the bills. And the biggest challenge at that time was that failure for me would mean failure for my kids and my grandkids, who also relied on the business. So, yeah, life was pretty interesting for a couple of years, just as I was navigating, figuring everything out and figuring out how to transition from working in my business to working on my business. And, see, and you kind of mentioned the Mavericks. I came across them when a friend recommended I check them out in 2015. And I remember I was in Argentina in December of 2015, and I was talking with a friend, just kind of sharing the challenges that I've had, you know, through dealing with my hand and the rehab and my practice and bills and finances and everything. And he said to me words that changed my life. He said, you realize the injury had to happen to your hand, right? And the more he went on, he said, because if it had happened anywhere else on my body, I would still be massaging. And even though I loved it, I would not have experienced the amount of growth that I had since that injury happened to me. And he was right. It really would have been easy to throw in the towel, to lay on the couch and really be depressed. But something had changed inside of me as I recognized these new opportunities that were being presented. Because I wasn't focused on my practice, I was focused on building my business.
Wow.
And so,
I am a little bit curious, as probably some of the listeners are. So did your finger get caught in something? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I was on a, like I said, it was an obstacle mud run, and it got stuck in one of the obstacles. I was dropping down, and it got stuck in this wood bracing. And as I dropped down, my body weight just ripped it from my hand. And really sorry to be, graphic, but it ripped the tendon all the way up my arm as well. And so there was a lot of trauma that happened in my whole arm, not just in my finger, which is why the rehab took as long as it did.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to breathe into this for a moment, because that is, that's like five stories in one there that you've experienced. Let's just have a quick interlude here and just breathe in it, because I want to hear the rest of the story of what happened afterwards and how you've turned things around, because this is just a dynamite situation that I know has a happy ending. So let's go to a quick interlude.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, The New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
I know that things turned around and that your determination, and I think that our kids for sure fuel all kinds of things that give us inner strength that we never dreamt that we had. And with you and your business, you've got a built-in succession plan, and yet, as you say, you have to keep it going. So what happened next?
What happened next was when I came back from Argentina, and I landed, I turned on my phone, and I had a voicemail telling me that the only other school in, I don't know if you're familiar with Vancouver, Washington, which is just across the river from Portland, Oregon, that the only other massage school in that town had closed. And that intrigued me. I kind of was starting to formulate this idea that I wanted to own more massage schools. And so I moved quickly on that, and I heard in December, and I opened that second location in March of 2016. So we're just coming up on 3 years of having that second location. And so I just had to change my focus and start, transitioning, like I said, from working in the business to working on the business. And I started thinking about, you know, my vision and what it was that I wanted. And I started creating this ecosystem, and, you know, my kids are definitely part of that as well. And I started thinking of how I could help other massage therapists around the country by, A, sharing my story and being loud and vocal about it, because a lot of massage therapists, they get injured or they get hurt and they don't see what the next progression would be if they want to help people and continue helping people. They get out of this field and go to jobs that they don't love because they can't continue to do this work. And so from there, I created a business in a box model where I'm helping other massage therapists open up their own massage school here in the U.S. And so, my mind started expanding. I was around these amazing entrepreneurs, and I was being taught these lessons that I was bringing back into my business and into my life to, you know, think outside the box and how I could stay in this field and help more people to help more people.
Yeah. Well, as you've built out your business, you've accumulated a significant amount of wisdom about how to attract new clients, how to engage and retain clients. And I think that that's the key things where, you know, in my business too, you know, working with entrepreneurs, I see a lot of really talented practitioners who don't actually set themselves up as a business. They set themselves up for self-employment, and then if they are, you know, not operating, there's no revenue coming into the business. So, I mean, it's really not
exactly. Exactly.
If they were thinking about it with, you know, what's my exit strategy going to be, and how could I sell the business at a later date, which, you know, if I listen to Harv Eker, Millionaire Mind, you know, that sort of mindset and his teachings, I mean, it's really all about setting it up as a business for sale at some future point, and that's where you really cash out. So whether your kids are in the business or not, understanding how to be a practitioner and run it as a business is a really valuable skill set that you've been able to bundle and teach. So kudos. Sorry.
What's that?
That's what I did when I put my book together. My new book, which I'm not sure if you have a copy yet, it's Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. I was wanting to write a book and realizing that, you know, there's a lot of lessons that my mom taught me about not having powerful language and what's happened with, you know, my dad literally draining the life right out of her through verbal diminishment. And not wanting to become like that. And I thought about all the things that I teach my clients and realized there was a pattern that most of them wanted to know, you know, how can I have more confidence or how can I be more confident? And started thinking about, you know, what do I share with them? And there were several things that were recurring principles that I started putting down in the book. And it's just mushroomed from there. So I'm just going to run a... second clip.
I love that.
A little bit more about that book, and then we'll carry on. So here's the second clip.
Okay. Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing.
Yeah, I realize now that that was my advertising from last year, so got to get that updated to 2000.
Oh. That's funny.
Business in a box. What a fantastic tool. So, interested to hear, is there anything else that you wanted to share in that particular story of how things have evolved? And if not, then I have had a couple of other questions as well.
So it evolved, I suppose the best way to say it is that it evolved out of my desire to be happy. Like, I've had others who've told me I should be creating a franchise model or a license model. And when I looked inside myself and realized that it's really centered around happiness and helping people, and that I want others who want to stay in this field, I want to help them create something that is truly theirs, not mine, and help them, you know, live their best life. So that business in a box model is really designed around happiness, and that's because of the deaths in my family and what I experienced and the, you know, the mental trauma I went through those deaths, but also through my finger. And so it's truly coming from a place of wanting to help people and around happiness. And the franchise model or the license model did not fit into that desire of mine. So the business in a box model was born from that. And so it's a product that is everything somebody would need to open their own massage school. And then once they open, we step back. We're there for mentorship if they need it, but it's their school to drive and direct the way that they want to.
Lovely. So you're teaching them how to fish, not giving them the fish, right?
Correct. Yeah.
I love that. And when I thought about my son's business, well, I say business, I mean, it's a passion for him. The way he came about wanting to help kids in four countries with securing surgeries for their cleft palate through Operation Smile, that whole story, and I think you've heard that that story of what happened, that showed me a better way of being in business, because at the time I was working myself in a, you know, it was in my business, my coaching business, but I had grown out of it, and I was ending up working on very lucrative contracts, coaching, corporate coaching contracts, and yet I was working a lot with men, and I was definitely feeling underappreciated, and it was not my passion. I do also come from the IT industry, but from the HR side, I know how growing and confusing to the non-techie it can be, and it's stressful. So what I observed with him and how people came out to rally around and support him with his art, you know, selling his art to raise money for Operation Smile, when I put the book together, I wanted to make sure that it was still living in alignment with my values, and I wanted to have it as a social enterprise. So I am donating one for every copy that's purchased. I'm donating one to a women's foundation, shelter, or not-for-profit. And I have to say, you know, when your heart swells, when you're talking about your business in a box and how you're helping massage therapists and giving them the tools and the wisdom to go forth on their own, it's very similar when I'm, you know, donating a bundle of books to one of the local not-for-profits here. It's just really heartwarming, and I love it, and I look forward to doing it, and I would love to be donating 1 million copies of my book, which means
I love it.
You have 1 million copies of my book purchased. Just starting.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely support you and buy some books for my students. That's amazing. They need to hear that, too.
It is on Amazon now, and I can point you to where to do that at the end of this interview. Certainly, I've had a number of people saying already, you know, oh, I want to start a book club, and, oh, you know, a couple of other coaches that were wanting to, you know, license the rights to use that material in their practices, too, because for every one of those 40 words that are mentioned, words and word concepts, there's an action step element at the end of each one to, you know, first you raise the awareness, and then, okay, what do you do with that? Well, you've got to continue to deepen that awareness and look for alternate words that you can use, and how do you do that? So there's the action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sounds fantastic. Definitely check it out.
Well, let's just run this last clip about the tail end of the book, and then we'll be back a bit more from Sherry on her truly insightful decisions.
I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
And I'll repeat it again at the end, but the link for Amazon is on my website at wordswomenandwisdom.com, and it's A-N-D, spelled out in the middle, versus an ampersand, wordswomenandwisdom.com. There's a short, a replay of that video, and also the link underneath to the Amazon page to order that.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm hearing some pretty consistent themes here, and it's the awareness, it's the conscious business owner that I really enjoy speaking with, collaborating, and brainstorming with. And you've certainly been, as you mentioned, you know, you've recognized I'm being called to do this, and I've been there. It's like a tractor beam; like you cannot not do it. It's like you're on the conveyor belt and you can't get off.
That's a great visual.
Yeah. So when we pay attention and we listen deeply to that intuition, it's amazing what unfolds when you have the capacity to trust yourself, really trust yourself. And if you have had that tendon injury as well that caused the healing journey for 18 months, you probably wouldn't have had as much free time to reflect and really honor what you needed to go through, because most of us have busy lives, and until something whacks on the head like a 2x4, we don't take time for ourselves. Would you agree?
I totally would agree with that, because I was so enmeshed in the business. You know, I was training boot camp sessions, and I would teach, and then I would massage clients, and either teach or go home, and then just start the whole day again the next day. And so there was no time to think or process or think, like, what's next? What do I need to do to grow this? It was just day-to-day survival.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. And for me, I mean, my old company, when I first took my executive coach designation 10 years ago, I mean, that was really a solidifying of all of my work in human resources and senior roles, helping people to develop and find and land in the right career for them, evolve their potential, and do it in a high-growth business situation. And it really had been a very attractive name called the Shattered Ceiling. So women got it right away. I always wanted to work more with women because of my situation with my mom. And yet I had grown out of that name. And even the energy of it was very striving. You know, it's about breaking through and being fierce and aggressive. And I did actually have a lady fellow coach tell me that my energy was really aggressive. And that made me take a step back.
But wow, yeah.
I also had one experience all in one day with five opportunities for breaking glass all around me. My son dropped a glass off the counter that smashed. We went shopping, and a little girl came standing next to me and dropped this purple vase that broke next to me. My son kicked the vase over in the flower store, and that broke. And then I dropped my one of my Reiki crystals in the sink as I was cleaning it, and it landed in another glass and chipped. And then the final straw, I knocked my mirror off the bathroom counter and it smashed on the floor. And this is all in one day, Shari.
Holy crap.
So, wow. You know, really, it was really an unavoidable message. Okay, universe, I'm listening. You've got my attention.
Oh.
And that was really the solidifying point for me that I'd already broken through. I wasn't broken anymore myself. It was time to step into a new energy and really start paying attention to what was working really well, and then how could it be even better, which is one of the concepts I talk about in the book. And it's a really useful concept for business owners in particular, because I think a lot of traditional sales models are still teaching the concept that you have to, challenge your new potential client by asking them, you know, what's your biggest challenge, getting to that real pain point so you can pin them to the wall later. And I just don't think that, you know, for me it's about being assertive and collaborative and engaging in an invitation, not a hard sales pitch. So the appreciative inquiry concept that I've just picked out two of the questions and labeled it appreciative sales kinetics, which hinges on David Cooperrider's work, is about sitting with a new potential client and inviting them to share what's working really well already in their business, and then how could it be even better. So instead of asking them, you know, what's your big challenge, where you see the energy drain right out of them, by starting in a place of positive energy with what's working really well, you see them perk up. They're proud to talk about their current activity, proud to talk about where they're taking their vision, and then it's an easier conversation to say, well, now that I know what your plans are, can I share a little bit about what I do and see how that might, together, allow us to do something phenomenal and get there maybe quicker or in a different way if we co-created something. And you don't get any objections that way because there's nothing
right.
It's a future state. And it works like a charm. So yeah. That's a concept from the book.
That's a really good one. It reminds me of Dan Sullivan a little bit, and positive focus and always going there first. It's beautiful. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's a brand new potential client, you don't want to start off draining their energy and, you know, having them reflect on something extremely negative that's going on in their business is just going to drain the energy right out, and then it's really back up again. So that works really well. So in your case, what else would you say that you have learned? I mean, certainly the focus on having each day filled with joy is a really, really important one. And yet, how do you do that when your life has been turned upside down? How do you stay centered on that?
I think what I think about is the mission that I'm on, which you talked about a million books, and my mission is to help take a million people out of pain by 2025. And so if I'm settled into that state of, you know, worry or stress or, you know, sadness of what happened in our family, then I can't push forward with that mission. And so I think of that. I also think about my kids and my grandkids and, you know, of just continuing to move forward. You know, I one of my affirmations that I say is that I don't want myself or my kids to ever have to worry about money ever again. And so those are things that I think about every day to keep pushing forward.
Yeah. Don't want my kids to worry again.
Mm-hmm.
And even as I'm listening, I think that for our listeners, if they were able to take that intention and even have it, you know, written down with what they do want, right? Because it's so useful to look at what we don't want as a way to say, well, you know, let's play opposites. You know, like those grandkids you mentioned. I know what I don't want. What do I want instead? As you know, wanting or ensuring that your legacy will create abundance for your kids,
yeah,
and family, and really putting the emphasis on, you know, on that that place of positive energy. That's really valuable. And certainly, you know, when we talk about these life journeys, I know that your father passed away recently, too. So, again, my sincere condolences on that.
Thank you.
I'm sure that given all the other things that had happened with your other family members, you know, that was just one more piece to stay strong through. So is there any other new insights or learnings around how to get through deep grief that you'd like to share? Because I think that's something that, you know, I'm certainly getting older and some of our listeners.
Right.
If there's any tips that you can share around that, that would be hugely valuable too.
This one was definitely, I don't know that I want to say more of a challenge. I think, you know, because it's been several years since my sister passed away to when my dad passed away. And it opened up a ton of wounds that my sister and I both still have inside of us. You know, as we're cleaning the house, we're reliving all these memories of our, you know, sister and our brother and our mom. And I think that it's just to continue focusing on what's important and remembering the legacy that you're trying to create and remembering what these people stood for in their lives, that those are important things. Like, I've been working on a book myself, and it's coming from all this stuff that I learned from each one of them in my family and how I'm incorporating those into my life on a daily basis. And that's an important thing for me. My brother, what I learned most from him is movement is life, stillness is death. And so keep moving forward, keep living your passion, keep doing what it is that you want to do, and don't, you know, kind of come into a place where you're stopping, because movement is life. You have to keep moving forward one day at a time.
Absolutely.
So that is, yeah.
If I think about what's in nature, I mean, a plant never stays still. They're either growing, dying, and there's no in between.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so those are that, you know, I'm just thinking of the lessons I learned from each one of them. From my dad, you know, he lived his passion every day. From the time he was 15 years old, he wanted to be a pharmacist. He went on to become a pharmacist, and he at one point in his career bought a drugstore in a ski resort town and lived every day in the winter to go skiing. And, you know, would go back and fill prescriptions in the afternoon. And he never stopped living his passion and building a life around what he was passionate about. Even up to the end, you know, he was still an active pharmacist at 80 years old. He still worked but lived a life worth living. And I want to do that same thing. I want to be happy. I want to have a joy-filled life doing what I love doing and helping people along the way.
I love that, Shari. That's just so crystal clear to me that is the way that each of us, if we were living with that mindset and that underpinning of, you know, joy is a word that's in my book too, and if we just ourselves that one question, you know, what can I do today that will bring me and others around me the greatest joy? It's just such a powerful thing to start the day out with. And I'd like to make sure that listeners know where they can get a hold of you. I'd certainly be interested to keep up with how the book evolves in particular. So where can they learn more about you and your organization? And are you looking to add more practitioners, and are you inviting any new people to look at your business in a box right now?
Absolutely. We've got a couple in the hopper right now that we're working on. We're finishing up our second system. This is a pretty new venture, so we're pretty excited about this. But if anyone out there, and I'm not sure if your audience is mostly Canadian or if you get into the U.S., but I talk a lot about massage therapists, but this program would be appropriate for chiropractors, physical therapists, not so much maybe personal trainers, but maybe a small link there. But anyone who might be interested in looking at this system, the website is bodymechanicsinstitute.com. So that's bodymechanicsinstitute.com. And if they wanted to email me, like just ask more questions, if they're, in for some mentoring or anything, I would love to help people. That's, kind of the core foundation. So just my name, Aldrich, Aldrich, Sherry, Shari, at gmail.com. I would love to talk to people and help them out.
That is awesome. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm definitely intrigued. And is there a timeline that you're thinking about for your book that you mentioned as well? Any early...
Well, I was asked to do my first keynote speech, which is what I'm getting into this year. So I'm there if you're looking for a motivational speaker, anyone, but in October. And so my goal is to have the book done and ready to go for the audience for this event in October.
Great. Well, my own learning, I think it took about 9 months to actually write it, and then the universe didn't want me to release it just then, so that magic triangle of available, affordable, and qualified for editing stuff, proofreading, formatting, somehow took another 9 months.
Oh, boy.
Note to self.
I think I'm on the fast track.
So, yes, let's see if there are some, speaking opportunities. That's certainly one of my focus areas as well this year, getting out particularly with women's audiences and sharing. I've got three talks this year that I'm focusing on, which are all about word power and using more confident language and kind of why women rock in business, and then speaking up and being heard. So it would be delightful if we ended up speaking at the same conference. So I look out
for
an opportunity.
I'm also doing, I don't know if you're familiar with Matt Kazan's The Entrepreneur Stand-Up Comedy.
I am.
He signed up to
me with one of my in one of my talks. He's amazing.
Oh, he's so funny. But I'm taking that leap, and I'm going to do stand-up comedy at Caroline's on Broadway in New York City, April 23rd, and I'm excited. Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
Well, that I actually just replayed my own video, which is on my website, speaking at the Fearless Summit in March last year, of 500 women, and I was listening to see, the audience reaction to a few key points as I tweet to talk, and that was the one that got one of the biggest laughs, was when I was talking about, where's your confidence muscle, and bringing up the, the game of Operation when you're a kid, and that was one of Matt's tips to include that. So kudos, Matt, if you're listening. I just thanked him at the time.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's small world.
summit. I want to know more about this Fearless Summit. That's definitely something I'd be interested to know more about.
Well, I will email you a link to that. That's with Sharla Brown, who is the one woman organization, and they raise money for women in. I don't want to get it wrong. If it's sub-Saharan Africa, Nigeria, Sudan.
Wow.
Anyway, it's countries where women typically do not get to start businesses, and so they make these beaded bracelets, and then they...
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and then they allow that skill to actually build a small business for some amazing women. So I'll send you the link after for that. And thank you for sharing your heart today and sharing your insights and your wisdom, sharing your story. I can see how that would be an amazing talk. And if there's anything else you wanted to add before we close, this is the opportunity. Any other final messages?
Nope, just thank you for having me. It's been amazing. I love sharing my story, and I thank you for inviting me to be on and share it.
Well, what an amazing story. As I said, the focus is sharing these uplifting stories from tragedy to triumph, chaos to confidence, to remind all of the listeners that when something tragic seems like it's happening in your life, be prepared for the next wave, which is going to be sweeping out the crap and delivering an amazing experience for you to step into if you trust yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. I've seen that over and over in my life. That's a fantastic message. I love it.
Yeah, stay in trust. And I look forward to being back with you the Tuesday after next. It's a bi-weekly show right now. Have a fabulous week, Shari, and feel free to reach out to me. Pick up a copy of the book if you feel inclined. And welcome.
I will.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.